We'll finish Hebrews 10 tonight. We'll start there in verse 32. Last week we were reminded that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that was written to Christians. Before that, we were reminded how important it is that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in God's house. But tonight, we're reminded that we can have confidence in our position in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, the Bible says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So cast not away your confidence. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would just illuminate us as we look into your word tonight. The Holy Spirit would guide us in truth and teach us, Lord, and grow us. And so we thank you for this privilege to be here. And may Jesus, our Savior, be lifted up. We ask it in his wonderful name. Amen. So as Paul hears, sorry, I always do that, don't I? We don't know for sure it was Paul, but it sure sounds like Paul, doesn't it? In verse 32, he says, we need to always be calling to remembrance when we were illuminated with, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go back to chapter 6, God uses a different word than illuminated, but it's the same concept. It's when the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shined upon us and we were saved. Notice Hebrews 6, verse 4. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost." So here God uses the word enlightened. Over here in verse chapter 10, he uses the word illuminated. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6, the Bible says the gospel has shined in our hearts. So all that's talking about how the light of God, who is light, shined upon us, just like it did with Paul at Damascus Road there in the book of Acts. And we believed the gospel, and we were rescued from our sin. But notice he says there in verse 32, after we were illuminated, we endured a great fight of afflictions. Now, we've all heard this, but the Bible clearly teaches that once we become Christians, we enter into a battlefield. And that battle doesn't end until we leave this earth, either through death or the rapture. He tells us on down that we are companions in this fight. But we are in a fight. We are going to have many afflictions. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And if you look at Philippians 1:29, the Bible clearly teaches that we were called as Christians unto suffering. Notice Philippians 1:29. The Bible says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So we were called not only to believe, but also to suffer. And as after we were illuminated, we've endured a great fight of afflictions, and we will endure many more. It's all part of God's plan for conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. But notice verse 33, we're in the fight together. He says, "Whilst you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used." So we all face these afflictions and often persecutions, but then we become companions of one another because we're all in the same battle together and have the same captain. And as we're told in the Bible, we are now soldiers. We're even told in 2 Timothy 2, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All of us are in this fight, and all of us have been illuminated, but we're in it together. We're companions. So verse 34, "You have had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Paul here is thanking them for giving to him in his time of need. And they did it knowing that they were laying up treasures in heaven, as Jesus commanded us to. When we give unto God's people, when we give unto God's work, we're doing that. We're laying up treasures in heaven. When we spend everything on earthly things, we're laying up treasures upon earth. If you go to Philippians again, notice chapter 3, verse 20, where the Bible teaches that that is where we are already living, and that is where our focus is to be, not only in our time, but even in our treasure, as Jesus said about laying up treasures in heaven. Notice Philippians 3:20. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you go to chapter 4 of Philippians, the Apostle Paul here, again, is commending a different group of people for doing the same thing, which is helping him out in his ministry with physical needs. Notice verse 18. But I have all and rebound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So he's thanking the Philippians for sending him money and physical needs. And here in Hebrews, somebody's also thanking these Hebrew Christians for the same, for helping the writer out. Notice he says in verse 35 of our passage, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Has anybody ever met a Christian who had lost their confidence? We all have. They're no longer confident in their standing in Christ. They're no longer confident in their Christianity and in their witnessing. What happened? What happened was they cast away their confidence. They substituted it for earthly things, usually sin. And when we are in sin, we are not confident in our Christianity. The two cannot cohabitate. But we have a position in Jesus Christ. We are safe and secure in Him. We are now part of His body. We're one of His children. Our sins are covered by the blood. God wants us to have confidence that we are safe and secure in Christ, that heaven's our home, and we can go forward in power with Jesus Christ's help. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But we can also lose that confidence because of sin. Now, if you go to 1 John 5, the Bible talks about having confidence in prayer. And that's part of our confidence, is that we know that God hears our prayers, but there is a condition. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So that's our confidence. Because we're told in 1 John 3:22 that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So if we're not living for Him, if we're not following His commandments, then our prayers are being hindered. And what happens is we lose our confidence. And God doesn't want that. But we meet Christians all the time. They've lost that assurance, that confidence in their Christianity. It's not because of God, it's because of sin. So back in our passage, verse 36, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We're going to have afflictions, as we read up there in verse 32. We're going to have the devil attacking our confidence. What does Paul say? Have patience. Wait. Know that Jesus is coming. Go to James 5 and we'll see James telling us the same thing. But Jesus is coming back, and God has commanded us to wait. James chapter 5, look at verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Look how many times the word patient or patience shows up just in those two verses. But it's all connected to the second coming of Jesus Christ and to getting established in the faith. He says, establish your hearts. So what the writer is telling us is Jesus is coming back. Be confident about that truth. Be confident in your Christianity and live the life of faith that we're supposed to live. So that's in our passage. Go back there, Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Now we were saved by faith, right? We were saved by trusting Jesus Christ. But the Bible says we're to live by faith. What that means is that we are to be living our daily lives trusting God. Right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Most of us know that verse, Proverbs 3:5. And lean not unto thine own understanding. So we're not only supposed to get saved by faith, we're supposed to be walking by faith. This was the Israelites' problem, wasn't it? They constantly were walking by sight. As long as things were going their way, they loved God and they wanted to serve God. Every time they ran into an obstacle of some sort, they got angry with God and blamed God and wanted to go back home to Egypt. And every time God worked a miracle, oh, God is wonderful. And then every time there was a problem, oh, God hates us. That's called walking by sight. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Go to Romans 1 and we'll see another verse on this. The just shall live by faith. So we need to have confidence in our position in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, and walk daily by faith. Trusting God for every decision, every step we take, that's what it means. Notice Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith to faith. What is that telling us? It means we had the faith to get saved, praise God, but it takes faith every step of the way. Faith by faith. It never ends. It never ends, this walking and living by faith. So what's the alternative? Go back to our passage. Those who lose their confidence are those who draw back. Verse 38, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Have we ever met a Christian that drew back? Of course we have. Sadly, the devil is very good at this, at getting Christians discouraged, getting them off the path, causing them to draw back. And I believe he's talking about saved people here. I don't believe he's talking about, but we're not 100% sure, because he says in verse 39, we aren't of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Either way, Paul is saying, or the writer is saying, walk by faith, walk in your confidence. Jesus is coming back soon. Don't let the devil trip you up. And if you'd look at a verse in 1 John, there are also people who claim to be Christians and they fall away because they weren't Christians in the first place. And the Bible gives us a lot of cross checks. 1 John says, if we love the brethren, that's one way of knowing we're saved. Romans says, if our spirit communes with the Holy Spirit, that's one way of knowing we're saved. Hebrews 12 says that if we experience the chastisement of God when we sin, that's when we know we're saved. If you've been saved 10 years and you've never been chastised by God, then you're not saved. Because the Bible says if you don't have any chastisement, you're not one of His. And there's other ways, but the point is, it's possible. The Bible says there's going to be the wheat and the tares. Notice 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What's the key? Verse 39 of our passage, them that believe to the saving of the soul. Is it possible to have a false profession in Christ? Of course it is. Because it's all about believing to the saving of the soul. It's all about putting your faith and trust in Christ. How many people out there have been given a false assurance even and have just been told, if you'll just pray a prayer, you're going to heaven? But they didn't trust Christ. You must believe to the saving of the soul. So what is God telling us? Cast not away your confidence. Don't let the devil go after your confidence, your assurance in Christ. All that we have in Christ is assured. our position is safe, our home is secured in heaven, and the devil can't do anything about that. But what he can go after is our confidence. Because obviously his first goal is to keep you from getting saved. The Bible says he blinds people's minds so they can't understand the gospel. After people get saved, what can he do to a Christian? He can't condemn us to hell, but he can certainly discourage us. He can certainly tempt us with sin and get us off track and cause us to lose our confidence. And if we lose our confidence, what do we lose but our testimony and our effectiveness to touch other lives for Christ? So the devil is still at it and will stay at it. That's why the Bible tells us, 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's always on the... He never rests. He's just like a lion out there just waiting. And if you watch a lion, it always goes after the ones on the fringe and the weak ones. They don't attack right in the main part of the pack. They always go after the ones that are straying. That's what the devil does with Christians too. So cast not away your confidence. Don't let the devil trick you into that. Let's pray. Thank you.